Welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil.
Welcome, everyone, to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. I'm Brent Smith, alongside Shane Stetsny, and man, Shane, coming off of Bark Rivers weekend, headed into fall weekend of Crandon, it's unreal. It's very busy, a lot going on, but man, first Bark River, what a crazy day.
Yeah, what a wild weekend it was, and first of all, I'm still amazed that, you know, we got those storms that rolled through Saturday, delayed us for a while, ultimately shut us down for the day. Even with all that lost time, we only lost 4 races out of 40 that were scheduled over the 2 days. That's incredible. And those will get to be made up Thursday at Crandon. So we were able to have a successful weekend at Bark River, even with those challenges.
Yeah, it's amazing. You got to thank Bark River Lions Club and Carl and everyone at Champ Off Road, because sometimes you just got to cancel the whole thing because of what's in the area or what already had happened with right. Mother Nature. So, I mean, I was excited. We got to get it done, right? I mean, on Saturday, we had 11 races in and we had to cancel the rest of the day. But you and I, we were ready to rock and roll the rest of the afternoon. But the rain set in and then it brought us to a busy Sunday. The whole round 12 was just over the top.
Yeah, I'm, pro racing. I got to say, pro racing first thing in the morning, like you just finish your energy drink and then we go live and then it's pros. I could get into that. I can get used to that.
Yeah, I always love when your blood gets flowing early in the day. And, you know, it seems like it was just another Sunday morning at Crandon. And that's what I love to see. It's get those big boys of the show to show us the way around. And then it was just a long afternoon, but a lot of great racing, right? The track right. worked its way in right away. I don't think we had a bad race, really.
No, I mean, even like I said, with all the challenges, really a successful whole weekend of racing. The weirdest race, and I think you'll probably agree with this with me on this, is Sunday morning, so round 11, pro spec, we had to call a fog race. I've been racking my brain. I cannot remember another race that looked like that. I don't think I've ever called a fog race before.
No, I mean, obviously we've had fog before. We've gotten there in the past, but not during that race. It was hard for us to even see anything.
Right.
I mean, even on our cameras, our poor camera guys and gals were trying to get every shot. And from what we seen, we couldn't see anything. So you got to give the credit to all the drivers that
right.
made it happen. Cause heck no, for me,
I think I even made this comment to you that on the checklist of like weird weather, I think all that's left is that I have not yet called a snow race.
Oh,
fingers crossed. Crandon tends to be a little chilly in early September, late August, early September sometimes. So maybe there's time for us.
Well, I'm hoping the snow stays away until after Crandon, but I can tell you that, yeah, that was one to check off the list, and the drivers overcame that part and really put on one heck of a show. I mean, I talked to a lot of local people around Bark River since Bark River's races, and they just can't wait for next year already. Just that's how we are in this small town, right? A big day or big 2 day racing series comes into town and they loved it. It was a long day. They probably slept well on Sunday night, but we got it all in.
Yeah, a lot of the crowd stuck it out for quite a while on Saturday when we were, at the time, delayed and not yet canceled for the day, too. So I even said at the start of everything that Bark River has the most passionate fans of any stop on the national tour, and I think they proved me right.
Oh, yeah, they definitely are excited each and every time, and they get into it, right? We can hear them through the windows on the big moves or the big passes during the weekend, and it's just a great place to be, not only growing up here. It's just like Crandon to me. It just feels so great to have such a great build of talent that shows up in such a small town. It's amazing. We've seen it for years after years, and it only gets better. I can't wait till next year, and I know it's the 50th for Bark River, and they're going to be ready to put on one heck of a show.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I'm right there with you. Like I said, Bark River has kind of started to feel like home a little bit more for me. Yeah, certainly big things on the horizon for Bark River International Raceway. Another big headline, I think, coming out of Bark River, the last couple of years, man, it seems like Bark River is always good for a couple really big crashes. This time it was the Pro 2 points leader, Keegan Kincaid, and that was in that round 11 race Sunday morning where he went for a huge tumble. You and I both looked at each other right away and realized, like, hey, man, that truck is really in trouble. Later came to find out that, you know, within an hour after the race, it was already on a trailer and headed back to Argonne Jeff Keane's dad was already on his way back to start cutting it apart. I'm sure the truck has been race ready for a couple days now, knowing how those guys operate. And then he went out and borrowed Bradley Morris's truck for round 12 and ended up finishing fourth in that race. I mean, that's a remarkable, that could be the championship saving effort from Keegan and from Bradley Morris to loan his truck.
Oh yeah, that's just great sportsmanship. And I know it's not easy to give up your ride, right? It's the big picture for Keegan Kincaid. He needed to get it done. He needed to find something to put those points in the folder and have them going into Fall Crandon. And to hit your point on seeing if the truck was done, I was talking to Robert Nash, Bob Nash, and he said he just left the shop a couple hours ago and they back half that whole thing in 6 days. They had the front uppers and lowers put back together today. Jeff Kincaid was putting the radiators in. And he said, yeah, we're looking by the weekend, the end of the weekend, to have it race ready. So that's just crazy to think about. But I expected it, right?
Oh, right.
No pressure on them, but they're good. They're great.
Knowing Jeff Kincaid and Keegan and Robert and those guys, the truck's going to end up somehow coming out of that better off. That's how they operate. Yeah.
And that's what I asked Robert, too. I was like, hey, Bob, did you change up anything? And he's like, well, you know, I knew you're going to ask that. So, like, a little bit, not much, but we changed it a little because, I mean, you get a great opportunity to re-back half it, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
while you're in there anyways, right?
Yeah. New shocks on the front. I mean, they tore that thing up. One of the hardest crashes.
I guess one more headline and staying in Pro 2. The two winners of the two Pro 2 races were Kyle Greaves and Ricky G. And man, for both of those drivers, felt like they badly needed to win one just to kind of get forward momentum again, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's just that confidence we talked about earlier. You have to have confidence. And both these two young drivers have the confidence, all the confidence that you'd want. I mean, I watched them both test at Bark River. And hey, Shane, it paid off. They both were dominant when they got to the front. I didn't see nobody running them down at all after that mandatory competition caution. Ricky G, he really showed the way, but they're putting the time in. They're testing. They're changing things, and that's what you have to do at this level. It's not easy to win, and I love to see both these boys back on their A game.
Yeah, and it really bodes well for what we're going to see at Crandon, both in the points race on Saturday for round 13 and then, you know, World Cup Sunday. I think, you know, we'll talk about the extra guys in Pro 2 on the next episode of the podcast, which will be out probably Tuesday morning of Crandon week. But yeah, Pro 2, a lot of drivers hitting their stride a little bit, and then you add in some really fun names. I think Pro 2 is going to be worth the price of the ticket by itself.
It's going to be the best of the best. No matter what, it always ends up being great, and we always have great fun stories, and I just can't wait to keep things rolling, right? These points championships really start to heat up, and you're going to see the best come out of these next couple days.
Yeah, and speaking of points championships, let's go into some nuts and bolts on a couple of them here. Pro Buggy, I'm hesitant to throw out superlatives and put a crown on this points battle already, but this might be the best points battle over the 6 years of Champ Off-Road that we've ever seen for any pro class. Chaden Minder, 538. Jordan Bernlohr, 537 points. Billy Booth, 536. I think they each have two wins apiece. We're down to the final 3 points rounds. From first to third is 2 points. We're set up for, like I said, maybe an all-timer here in Pro Buggy.
Yeah, I would love to chit-chat with each and every one of these guys because I just want to know what their strategy is, right? You're going out to win. You're this close. But you know Billy Booth. What he does is he makes sure he knows where he needs to be. He wants to go win. Don't get me wrong. But if he knows that, say, Chaden Minder or Jordan Bernlohr has a bad day, he might just settle for a second if he can't reach that top spot at a nice pace, right? He's not going to danger his car or put anything in danger through his program just to get that first. I mean, if he comes out of the weekend with 2 seconds and Minder and Bernlohr don't have a great weekend, he can win this championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a toss-up. And I kind of think back to episodes of this podcast before the season when we kind of talked about what the points battle might look like. Obviously, Bernlohr is a defending champ, so it's not a surprise that he's there. Billy Booth has been a championship contender in Pro Buggy for a couple of years now. Minder's probably the biggest surprise, but man, he has been as tough as just about anybody. And a little different driving style. And I think we've even called this out during race call that, you know, his aggression kind of stands out. It separates him from everybody else in that class.
Yeah, Big Tuna, he really knows how to get the job done. He's so fast. He's confident, calm, cool, and collected, I like to say a lot, because if you see one of those drivers, he's one to put in that column because he knows how to be patient. He knows how to drive hard. And at the end of the day, he's going to be in that top three, right? If that car stays together and he stays out of chaos, he's just that young talent that we love to see. In these top three, I couldn't tell you who's going to win the championship. Not even going off of numbers alone. I mean, all three of these drivers have really impressed me this season.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Like I said, it's toss-up. There's throw the predictions at this point out the window. It's, you know, those three drivers have been so evenly matched. It's going to be an extremely fun final three rounds for them.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't want to be in those seats right now. It'd be fun, but at the same time, stressful.
Well, from one end of the spectrum to the other, when it comes to point standings, Pro Stock side by side, we can't pronounce it clinched yet because mathematically it's not, but Owen Van Epperen with 3 points rounds left, 111 points ahead of CJ Greaves. That's astonishing to take it to CJ and Jeb Boodle and everybody else, you know, to that degree is just nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy what we're witnessing this season. And Owen Van Epperen has just been on a tear. And that's what we've seen all season long. I mean, CJ Greaves, if he's had some great days. And, you know, I just think overall, if Owen Van Epperen brings his A game like he always does, no matter where he starts, we've seen it time and time again. He finds himself on the box and 90% of the time on that first place position. And I think it's going to be hard to take him down at Crannon.
I was trying to think of other drivers in the previous 5 years of Champ Off Road in the pro ranks that had a 100 plus point margin. I'm pretty sure Brock Hager did it in Pro Stock, or yeah, it might have been Pro Light, and I should have done my homework on that. But CJ also, I think, did it in Pro Stock a couple of years back. But like I said, to lay a beat down on the field like that, to build up a triple-digit points lead, what goes into that? I mean, what you've raced for championships before, what are all the factors, what are all the things that have to go right just to have that kind of year?
Man, everything's got to go right, and you got to have some bad luck on your competitor's side as well, because obviously if you keep finishing first and second to one racer, it's going to stay pretty close no matter what. But then you go into the qualifying, you go into the race day points and the bonus points, and it's just stressful, and you just got to know that your car's put together, and that's what's happened for Owen. All the prep works right. The drivability is there. I mean, his whole team's on the same page, and you just take it as you can. He might not ever see a points lead like this again in his career, so you just got to be happy at what you're doing, and what he's doing is right, and you got to have a lot of luck on your side. The late Rick Husman always said it, 80% of it's luck, 20% is trying to put everything else together. And it's weird to say, but you definitely got to be at the right place at the right time.
The nice thing, though, is that even though that championship is almost in hand for Owen Van Epperen, again, I don't even want to bring it up. This could be the worst announcer's curse of all time. We're really flirting with disaster here by talking about it in these terms. But the racing, the individual races have still been phenomenal. And I'm thinking about that round 12 race, the Sunday afternoon race at Bark River. We got to see, you know, the rivalry. It was one-on-one, CJ versus Owen, a couple different lead changes. Came right down to the wire in that one. Going back and watching the highlights, it kind of occurred to me, like, it's rare to see CJ pushed all the way to his limits. And that's what Owen's been able to do. You know, CJ, all his success in Pro 4 is super impressive. But watching him drive a Pro 4... kind of boring. He's not driving 110% all the time because he can't in Pro 4. A lot of what he does in Pro 4 and in anything he drives is being consistent, not making mistakes, running the best lines. But that Pro Stock race in round 12, he was pushed to the limit. It was super entertaining to watch. And it also reminded me that, oh yeah, CJ is like an elite wheel man, as if there was ever any doubt.
Right, and he's been so fun to watch over the years and to get to broadcast his races and see what he does behind the wheel. But I agree with you 120%. You know, you watch him go all out, him and Owen, to just battle for that win. But in Pro 4, right, there's a lot of days where he doesn't need to do that. I mean, when he's checked out on the field or he's methodical and gets through at the right place and the right timing, he's always right there in Pro 4. But yeah, to get him up on the wheel like he's been in the side-by-side division, it's fun to watch him search for lines.
Yeah, I guess that was a very long-winded way for me to say, like, you know, there's fans that we talk to that are still truck racing purists. Man, you can't skip, especially pro stock. Pro side-by-side is awesome too, but pro stock right now is, even though the championship on paper is way out of hand already, it's been terrific racing all season.
Yeah, it never disappoints. Pro stock, Crannon, that's all I got to say.
Yeah, it's going to be a couple wild days of racing for those guys. I think one more that this is going to be a recurring theme too. We're going to be talking about Pro Buggy a lot between now and the end of the season out at Glen Helen. And Pro Spec, I think, is another one that's going to come right down to the last few laps of the season. Two-horse race in that one, Chris Vandenelson, 8 points ahead of Wyatt Miller. Those two split the two races at Bark River. But going back to Crandon in June, they have combined won 7 out of the last 8 races. So they're the class of the field when looking at the scope of the whole season. But that battle is another one that's set up, like I said, to go right down to the final laps at Glen Helen, I think.
Oh, I really do enjoy watching this Pro Spec division because it's going to come right down to the end. I mean, you see Chris Vandenelson and Wyatt Miller, they're both going to put the gloves on, right? They're both great race car drivers. It's going to come down to whose truck can maintain the Crannon track, who's got the best setup, who can feel the run it right on the edge. And I believe it's going to be a great show, but you can't take away Dylan Parsons. He's been very fast. I mean, Visser, they're all right there. We have other drivers that have the ability to get up on that podium and win these Pro Spec races. But right now,
yeah, all those dang young kids.
I know. We're old.
That's what I think adds a lot of extra intrigue to that points battle, even though it is effectively down to just those two. The fact that those two aren't constantly out front, but you see other drivers, like you said, Dylan Parsons, Nick Visser, Avery Hemmer, Draxton Schimmick, all these other drivers that are super fast, super tough to race against. And, you know, Chris and Wyatt are out there trying to do a little points racing and have all these other really fast, tough competitors in their way, that it's really tough to be in that position, I think.
Well, yeah, because it's going to lay it out, you know, wherever they come out of that whole shot and figure it out. And when they come on the barn jump, it's going to be all laid out those first couple laps. You know, who pulls whole shot? Where's everyone at? And if you're all those other guys trying to put a statement in this class and showing the speed through the season, I mean, they're not going to hold anything back. So if you're Chris Vandenelson and Wyatt Miller, you're just hoping that everybody leaves you alone.
Right. And that, like I said, that's, I think what has to be a source of stress for those two.
Oh yeah. The stress is probably over the top, and good thing we didn't have either one of them on the podcast because they probably wouldn't have much to say.
Yeah. They got, I think they got much bigger fish to fry this time of year. Speaking of stress.
Yeah, you're talking about stress. Tell everyone what's going on coming into Fall Crannon. You're going to get behind the wheel, buddy.
I'm doing a little racing. What's the line from Talladega Nights? With all respect, Lucius, it's time for me to do some driving. I'm going to be out there in Sportsman side-by-side. I was offered a car from Connor and Mike Lacasse. Connor, of course, racing in Sportsman side-by-side. Mike's his dad. And yeah, it's kind of an off-the-cuff conversation that I was having with Mike. Ended with him saying, well, hey, we got Connor's car from last year just sitting. It's for sale. Why don't you get some safety gear together and go out and race it? Of course, I graciously accepted. I can't let you have all the fun behind the wheel like you have a couple times over the last 3 years. So here we are. The car is currently sitting in your garage while you and Brock were getting some prep work done on it. I came up and helped you guys do a little bit of work on it.
Oh, we had a blast. That was so much fun. And just you getting the chance to drive a car, I'm so excited for you. It's just a great experience. And then you get to do it at your hometown track, Crannon International Off-Road Raceway. I mean, it's been so much fun getting you ready to go. I mean, it's a short week away, but man, it's going to be fun to watch you and to get to experience broadcasting Shane behind the wheel.
Yeah, like I said, a little bit of a role reversal. I only wish that, you kind of set the bar pretty high for me with your performance in Pro Light last year. So Thanks for that, I guess.
You'll do great, dude. You just gotta let the hammer down and just have fun. And those young, talented drivers are going to be wicked to drive against, but I'm sure you're going to get a lot of respect if they want you to talk about them the rest of the year.
Yeah, this is a warning. Any of you guys rough me up,
it's over.
It's gonna reflect badly on you from the booth.
Oh.
But yeah, I think, you know, it's been so great. A bunch of people found out that I had the opportunity and stepped up and offered to help. Like I said, you and your brother Brock, like I said, the car's still sitting in your garage as you guys are changing a couple things on it. And Mike and Connor have been super helpful and making sure that I feel as prepared as I can be. Pete DeLore, Pete Ank Performance, is actually letting me use some of his safety gear, so I'm super appreciative of him. Justin Tesmer has some safety gear that I'm going to be able to use as well. Kyle Cooper is going to be spotting for me, along with racing himself in Pro 2. And then Diamond House International stepped up to put a wrap on the car, and I'm really appreciative of Phil Vasquez and Diamond House for helping out as well.
Yeah, it's so amazing, dude, and it's great. You have a lot of great people behind you, and Brock and I are going to prep that thing 120% to make sure you're safe, and you just got to go out there, have fun, just enjoy the moment. That's what I felt like it was the hardest thing to do, is just be thankful for the moment that you're in at the time you're given. And when it's all said and done, you're bummed it goes by and goes that fast. But just take it all in and drive your butt off, right? You feel comfy, go faster, right? Nobody's out to point fingers. I'm just excited to see you have a blast and be on that Crandon racetrack in a side-by-side.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited about it. When we talked on the phone earlier today, I told you that I've been trying to think about other things too, and I've got a lot of irons in the fire right now with planning a big move to an entirely different part of Wisconsin. And so I got a lot going on, but, so every so often I'll think about it again and, you know, try to like mentally run through the checklist of things I still need to get ready. And I've told you that I've been kind of flip-flopping. Like I think about it once and I'm just purely excited. A few minutes later, I think of it again and I'm like, oh man, I'm extremely terrified.
I feel it's you, just, buddy. I feel you.
There's a line in Armageddon where Owen Wilson's character says he's 98% excited and 2% scared. And then he's like, maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's 2% excited, 98% scared. That's my emotional state right now.
You'll be holding on, great, dude. I can't do the thinking for you, but you'll be fine. And it's all part of the fun. You know, you're thinking about it because you care. You want to do the best that you possibly can do. And like I said, you take the good with the bad and it's all going to be good, right? You're going to get to be in the parade. You're going to get to bring the car down. I just think Crandon's so much fun no matter what you do. And then you add on racing to announcing. I mean, dude, you're doing it all.
Thanks. You made me nervous again.
Nah, you're fine. I'll walk to the line with you if I have to.
That's all right. I know that I'm going to end up asking you for more advice about 1,000 times this week. So
hey, that's what I'm here for, buddy. Advance. Yeah, no problem, man. I didn't know what to think about all the way until Faye threw the green flag. So if that makes you feel any better. Well, yeah, no matter what. Scott Taylor said that as well, right? If you didn't think about it more than you thought you were thinking about it, you're not caring about what you're doing. Evan Evans even said it, right? And that beautiful piece they put together through turn one at Crandon. And he's like, if you don't have butterflies, I don't know what to tell you. Because it's turn one of Crandon. It's Crandon. It's definitely the big house my whole life, no matter what. We went to Crandon, I felt like, before we even knew what Bark River was about. Because you just listened about Crandon.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, like you said, a lot of the things off the racetrack are going to be the parts that I treasure about it. Is being at the parade. You know, I've already said this to you a couple times, but I'm just like excited to be at the parade with a race car, because at one point I was just a kid walking up and down the street looking at the guys with race cars, and like my dream as a little kid was to be one of those guys, and now I get to at least you know, wear the shoes for a weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be fun just to let it all sink in, and that's what the biggest part you have to do, right? I mean, there's people that would just love to get the chance of what you get to do. And you got to be thankful. And I know you are, just working with you.
100%.
You know, that's what it's about. Be happy. Try not to be frustrated no matter what. You know, being with my twin brother during the whole racing aspect of Pro Light, we'd get bickering back and forth on each other about certain things. But at the end of the day, it's like, man, who would have thunk that we get to do this? So, I mean, I know you're feeling that way as well. Like, hey, you know, this is huge for you. I mean, after I ran Pro Light, I told my dad and my mom, I said, I want to keep continuing racing, right? I got that itch no matter what. But if it all ended tomorrow, hey, I got to do it.
Well, because we're getting down to the end of the sportsman season with just 2 rounds to go for most sportsman classes, 3 rounds to go for a couple of those. We're going to actually have 2 guests on this episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast. And first up from Pro-Am Side-by-Side, he is in the thick of the points battle. It is Lucas Houle. Lucas, thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, I'm pumped to be here. Thanks for having me on.
I crunched the numbers. It's about 136 hours from now. You'll be in the race car on the track at Crandon. So what do those next few days look like? Sorry if that number scares you.
Well, yes, that is scary. It's coming really fast. I was excited for 2 weekends off after Bark River, and they both kind of flew by. It's weird to think that we're leaving on Wednesday already. We're going to go over there and set up Wednesday morning, and we're golfing in the golf tournament over there too. So it'll be a fun week. I'm really looking forward to. I just need these next couple of days to slow down a little bit and reset.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast the fall Crandon comes, and it really bums us all out. And it's nice to have the California race, but usually these are the depressing times of the summer. You know, the racing's over and we go back to winter.
Right. Yeah, it's getting a little somber, but we're really excited. It makes the summer go by quick for sure. Like, I start classes up again. I'm supposed to start them next Wednesday, but I had to tell my professors I got better things to do than go to school right now. So really excited for that week. And then I'm hoping we can make the race down in California. We'll see if everything lines up so we can send the car down there and see you guys down there as well.
I always get a kick out of especially like the elementary school age kids, like the 170 and the 570 kids who miss classes this next race weekend, or, you know, miss the first day of school to be at Crandon. I always get a big kick out of that.
Yeah, it's funny. I know I always tell Hudson this too. Like, I'm in college and I think he's starting his freshman year of high school. It's like, I have learned boatloads more information at the racetrack or being around the races than I will in, you know, a week or even a whole year of school sometimes. So I call it worth it. Teachers might not agree, but that's where my head's at.
Mikey Vandenhoevel. Mikey sent me a meme several years ago that said, education is important, but race cars are importanter.
That's awesome. That's a perfect way to summarize it.
Brent will vouch for that.
Yeah.
Sorry to throw you under the bus, yeah. Brent.
That's all right, dude. I've been ran over before. It's all good. That first week of school anyways, Lucas, you got to think about it. You're getting your books. You're just learning a little bit. So why not just be in Crandon for the first week?
I don't think you have to sell him on it.
Yeah. But no, it's everything's online now too, which is, this is one of the positive things after COVID is all my classes. I can literally not go to class for a month and I'm still going to be caught up because everything's just on my computer. So that's kind of my lifeline when I'm gone like this, is having that laptop with me.
So like I said, Lucas, the points battle between you and Matt Borschinger it's basically down to the two of you. 3 rounds left because of that one that got rained out at Bark River. So you're on the racetrack, you know, 3 times over the course of a couple of days. With the 2 sportsman drop rounds, do you know where you stand?
I think with the drop rounds, I am either 12 or 13 points ahead right now. I'm hoping it's 12. 13 is not known to be a lucky number, but I'm pretty sure it is 13 points right now.
Okay, so you're right, it is 13. I had the number, I just didn't want to spoil it if you didn't know or didn't want to know.
It's the last thing I should be thinking about.
Right, well, that kind of leads to my next question. What does it change anything in terms of strategy for you next weekend? Do you really believe in, like, points racing, or are you just out there to do whatever you can on the racetrack that day and let it fall where it falls?
I mean, of course, I always, you know, points championships really cool, and that's, you know, everyone's ultimate goal by the end of the season. But at the same time, I think if I go out there and I do my absolute best and give my all at every race, I should be, you know, anticipating being in contention for a win. So, and that's been the game plan all year, is just go out, give it my all, not be too aggressive, because, you know, you can't. To finish first you have to finish, is something right. I've always heard. So it's important to be a little conservative there, but I'm never going to think like, oh, I'm only 3 spots behind this guy. I'm content with that. We can make it up next round. Like, I'm always going to go, you know, pass as many guys as I can. It's a healthy mix of both right now, especially with coming down to the wire like this, but I think the mentality is going to be the same. Go try win all three races, but be reasonable about it too. Like, we don't have to be giving guys wheels on the inside of the corner or anything, risking a DNF for the win. But I think I'm going to try race like I'm 20 points behind, because, you know, the buffer never hurts. Yeah, I think that's going to be the ultimate strategy going into this next weekend.
Yeah, and it's the times when you don't really try as hard as you can, that's when it seems like you make the mistakes, you know? I mean, I believe that your mentality and what you're going to do is what you need to do, right? You need to go out there and just act like it's a regular race and go win the dang thing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the plan. Is hopefully, I think I had a really bad lap in Bark River, so I have to start 11th. But the saving grace there is it's not starting 11th in a ramp in a land rush. It's starting with a 2x2 rolling start on Thursday, which I'm way more comfortable starting mid-pack with a rolling start just to avoid a little chaos coming down the front stretch. And I think I'm right behind Matt too. So, you know, that's going to be, I think that'll be something to watch. We want to try to get around those guys as quick as possible and just put as many cars between us as I can.
Does it change a lot for you having, you know, three races crammed into a weekend instead of the normal two?
I don't think it'll change much. I'll be running five pole races next weekend, which will be something really exciting. And I think there's no such thing as bad seat time either. We don't practice on Thursday, which will be a little interesting, only getting one sight lap. But after right. Bark River, we went and tested suspension in Crandon on our way, what it was on our way home pretty much. So we know our car is pretty much dialed right there. It's right where we want it to be. So I think that will give us a little bit of an edge compared to the guys that weren't able to go out and test between rounds. But no, seat time, I'm super excited to get that much seat time in the car. That'll be, you know, like an hour, almost an hour total of racing, which I'm stoked for. And I think it'll be a blast, not only for us racers, but the fans coming out to watch as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a great weekend just all around. So busy, right? Driving that car five times. I mean, your strategies in every race are obviously to win, but man, just the prep alone for you and your team, right?
Right. It's going to be busy. Luckily, we got Calvin, that he works at Speedworks full-time too, and then he comes and helps us at the races. He's been huge being out there helping us prep cars. Like, at one point, I think it was 7 or 8 cars under our tent that we're all working on, and it's awesome Jeez. Having Calvin out there to help us out, and just an extra set of hands goes a long ways. And he's such a smart guy. Like, if I run into any issues with my car, he's always right there to step in and help. And he's been kind of focusing on Hudson this year because he's still pretty young and learning the ropes, but it's just great to have such a solid crew around us always jumping in to help out, that it makes it just that much easier when we're doing a lot of races like this in a weekend.
You may have just partially answered my next question, but you know, comparing last season to this season, last year was your first year in Pro-Am, right?
Yep.
It seemed like it was tough for you. Like, you know, you came out of Sportsman side by side, where you're constantly a podium contender. You're racing for wins quite a bit the second year in Sportsman. Pro-Am seemed like it was tough for you. Now this year, like I said, you're competing for a championship. It's, you know, in your gun sights. What's the difference from last year to this year? Do you think that's making that has allowed you to take that big step forward?
So a big part last year was our first year in the Polaris's, because we had always been Articat the years before that. And then Jeremy, I think he raced those from 2017 or 2018 up until 2022 when I started. So there's 5 years of experience and knowledge with those machines right there. And then when you go switch brands, it's nice having guys like David and CJ out there that had already ran them. But at the same time, we lose pretty much 5 years of knowledge, and it's like starting over. So that was definitely a learning year. I think confidence in the car was something I really struggled with. And just over the winter, I went out snowmobile racing, and I honestly fell back in love with racing. So it just makes it easier to spend a lot of time not only working on stuff, but at the track as well. And I think confidence it makes a lot bigger of a difference than a lot of people think, having confidence in your race car.
Oh, yeah.
I had one rollover, and then after that, I was so timid at every corner. And you can't be racing scared, because then that's when you make even more mistakes. But I think confidence is huge. We made a couple of tweaks to the chassis, and then we updated our sway bar for just better handling, and that has been massive in the car's performance. And like you can see it on the results too. Like I would be happy last year breaking top 10, and then this year, you know, being anywhere further back than fifth, I've been pretty disappointed in myself. But I think that's the biggest thing, is just getting more confidence in the car.
Right. And just trusting it in all different aspects. And I agree on that. And it makes it less stressful, right? When you get in and you feel comfy and you could just drive it. And when you're stressed and worrying about other things, it's really hectic.
Exactly. Yeah, it's super. I think that's the most important thing that I will preach to anybody is make sure you're comfortable in the car. And, you know, I just had to remind myself, like, God gave me the opportunities and the talent to do this. Like, I'm meant to be here, and I just had to have the confidence in myself as a driver as well, too, that I can go out and compete with these guys. It's something, even if it's like a false confidence that some of these guys have, it's really important to have that belief in yourself as well.
Have you always been a really competitive person, like, as long as you can remember? And when you know that you're coming into a situation like next weekend at Crandon with so much on the line, does that just light that fire under you that much more?
Yeah, I'm honestly, my legs are shaking right now in anticipation for it. I've been a wreck for the last couple of days. But yeah, our whole family's super competitive. So I have a grandpa, an uncle, and then my dad are all in the Snowmobile Hall of Fame. So I was raised in a pretty, I would say, competitive environment. Like, even playing cribbage or like card games around here, there's a couple times we've gotten close to fist fights between like Jeremy and I and our other brothers. And it's constant competition around here. Like, I go play hockey with Jeremy on Wednesday nights, and we just about knock each other's teeth out. And then going to the go-kart track, if one of us beats the other one, we hear about it until we go race again. So it's awesome. Honestly, I wouldn't change it for anything. Being such a competitive atmosphere, I think it molded me into who I am today. But yeah, I would say I am a very competitive person.
No, that's so cool to hear. And you know, if you're double guessing all the time, it's no fun either. But with Shane, right, we always talk about the confidence on the show all the time, and it's a real thing. If you're all down and mean to yourself, what farther ahead are you going to get, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think a short memory is important as well. Like, I think that's one of the great qualities I have between, you know, just from playing baseball. That was a big thing we always got preached at too, is like short memory. As soon as I'm off the track, if there's anything I didn't like, I'll give myself 5-10 minutes to reflect, and then we're on to the next day.
So you mentioned that you're golfing in the Impulse Media golf outing when you get to Crandon on Wednesday. There's so much going on. I mean, there's other racing series that are at the track that are kind of grabbing people's attention. It's the biggest crowd in all of, you know, short course off-road racing. The parade Friday morning, there's so much, you know, pomp and circumstance around this whole weekend. How much do you let yourself enjoy the stuff that isn't strictly your own racing? And how tough is it to really stay focused on what's important?
Yeah, I make sure I let myself have fun at these things, because, you know, that's the biggest, I think it's really important for everyone, like, whether you're racing or on the crew or just come to spectate, take a step back. Like, awesome, and we are super lucky to be able to even be there in the first place, and like, we got to enjoy it while we're there. I think it's the most important thing you can do while you're racing is have fun. If you're not having fun, you're going to be, you know, down. And that's another thing that ties back into the confidence. But I think I'll let myself have fun at the golf outing, but then as soon as we're done with that, it's back to business. When we're at the pits, we get up and race around noon, I think, on Thursday. So I gotta make sure I get locked back into, you know, to race mode for that. And then it should be pretty easy to keep my focus throughout the whole weekend. We're racing every day and then twice on Saturday. So I don't think it'll be too much of an issue, but I think it is super important that we try go out and have a little bit of fun too and enjoy it while we're there. Cause like Fall Crandon, I preach to everybody, if you're going to come to one of these things, come to Fall Crandon. It's like the Red Bud of short course off-road, or like our Super Bowl. I think it is the most fun race we have all year, and it's something I'm always looking forward to.
Yeah, it's so great, the parade and just the atmosphere. I mean, since we were just kids going there, Shane and I, it's one you look forward to every year, no matter what. If you want to be at a race, you got to pick Fall Crandon.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a blast. And I, yeah, again, if anyone ever asks me, you know, I can only make one race this year, which one should I go to? I will, in a heartbeat, I will be saying Fall Crandon.
Yeah, and I'm about to get to experience it, you know, with every possible iron in the fire too. So hearing you talk about trying to balance it out, you made me stressed out. So thanks for that.
I will have to come talk to you after you get to experience the land rush and hear what your opinion is. I don't think there's any, I've been snowmobile racing. I've been at, you know, the Sui 500, and I think the biggest adrenaline rush I have gotten from anything is that land rush start for the first time.
I've mentally I've mentally walked myself through, you know, through it a little bit, everything but the land rush. I've been trying not to think about that too much until, you know, Friday morning.
Yeah, there you go. It's a whole different beast. I'm sure Brent can agree with me on this. You can anticipate a million things happening, and it'll still be something that surprises you somewhere in there.
Yeah, I've raced a couple off-road cars before, but it was once at Bark River was most recent. That was Rolling Start at the time. So yeah, thanks for stressing me out a little more.
You'll be all right. I'm pumped you get to even experience it. It's awesome.
Me too. I'm happy for him. He's gonna have fun.
Talking about making that jump to a Polaris, and you specifically named CJ and David Gay, and obviously David works for Polaris. CJ has been racing for them for a couple of years now. Are you actually looking to those guys for guidance on different things? And what's your relationship like with them?
Yeah, so David's another Minnesota guy, so we've been talking. He'll come by, say hi. We actually Calvin, our pit guy, we hot pit for him. He's such a cool dude, and he's been, sharing a little tips here. And yeah, those are both guys I look up to. Of course, unfortunately, come Saturday afternoon, they're guys I'm going to be trying to beat out on the racetrack, but they're both awesome dudes. And, that's the nice thing about both of them is they're not scared to be, sharing a little bit of setup tricks or anything else they have up their sleeve just for a little bit of a performance gain. But, yeah, they're both awesome dudes and definitely guys I look up to.
So is your plan to move to pro stock then moving forward next year, or is this just something you're jumping into because it's the end of the season and you get the opportunity?
I think we're going to feel it out. I think it's going to be a no-brainer. If I end up winning the championship this year, I'm definitely going to push my all to move up to pro stock next year. But yeah, Saturday afternoon and then Sunday I'm going to be up running with the pro stock boys, and then if we can make it out to California, I will be running in that same class.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm really hoping next year we can make the jump up. We'll just have to see where our budget and support's at for it.
No pressure, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, you gotta love racing. You gotta love every aspect of it. The good with the bad.
Yep, exactly. All the fun stuff.
Man, it seems like you have a lot of irons in the fire though, and a lot going on over the next few days leading up to Crandon.
That's honestly not a bad thing. Like, I've been trying to keep myself busy, so I'm not thinking about this points race and stuff. Like, I just got over my last adrenaline rush you guys gave me about 5 minutes ago asking about it. I even got bored enough to go to the driving range earlier just so I'm sitting and thinking about something that's not racing. I think that's honestly the toughest part of these last 2 weeks is finding stuff to do, or else the minutes feel like hours is going by.
Do you have any kind of relationship or friendship with Matt Borschinger? I mean, you guys have been racing against each other for a handful of years now.
Honestly, I haven't gotten to talk to him a ton. He seems like he's a great dude. The chances I have gotten to talk to him just in staging. Like, I think the first conversation I had with him this year was at ERX after. I went up to apologize to him in staging because he stalled his car going into one. And I absolutely smoked him. And then Jared kind of finished him off there. So I was like, I'm sorry. I have no idea what happened. But I'm sorry if I do need to apologize. And then he was really receptive about it. And we figured out that his car just stalled and there wasn't really anyone at fault there. But he seems like such a genuine and a nice dude. I'm excited to get to race with him for the championship here. I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, Brent and I can actually vouch for that. We had him on the podcast earlier this year, and yeah, salt of the earth guy.
Yeah, he seems like, I listened to that one, and yeah, he seems just like an awesome dude. A lot of the guys in that class are. Like, I mostly only really talk to Ben or Jared when they would come up to me in staging, or else I'm in my car with my ears covered trying to focus a little bit. But that whole class is just the atmosphere, even in staging, like we're about to all go race each other and try to beat each other, of course. And then everyone just, we all get along like we're all friends out there. So I think that's pretty, it helps calm the nerves a lot when you can walk up to any of those guys and have a good conversation. I think it's an awesome pro-am class this year. It's super competitive. Like, we've had, I think, 7 or 8 different winners now, which is awesome for the sport as well.
Yeah, at staging, I always said, going back at that was my worst part, right? You have that last little bit to think about it, but you could still yet talk to everybody, and you try to feel them out, right? I always, back in my super stock truck day, I'd try to talk the other drivers out of doing something. I'd be like, well, it's really wet going in the gravel pit. Make sure you tiptoe going in.
Yeah, I honestly think this is terrible for me to say, but I think we're the opposite. Like, I'll be talking with Ben, and we'll be like, We're pretty good friends off the track. We'll be in stage and just messing with each other, and you'll tell me he's going to put me into the K-rail or something. I'll usually just laugh and shake my head and walk away, or tell him I'm going to dump him. Or it's pretty lighthearted. I think usually we're both only half kidding when we say that stuff, but it's still pretty fun.
I already told Brent that when I'm in staging before Sportsman side-by-side, I'm going to punk out all the teenagers, Hudson and Brody Disher and all those guys, Carson Hill.
Yeah, you can just walk up and punch Hudson right in the stomach if you want to. I'm so mad at him about our last go-kart outing. He is the dirtiest go-kart racer I think I've ever raced. He's worse than his dad. Like, I got dumped on the pace lap of our go-kart race, and that's never happened to me before.
That's awesome.
And I get to race against him. Thanks for stressing me out a little more.
Well, he's a little tamed down in the UTV. He'll be all right.
It's when it's carts that belong to someone else that he just completely goes for it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Those have bumpers too, and you don't got to worry about, you know, going wheel to wheel with somebody and causing more damage. But it's all in good fun. He's, you know, he's a great kid, and it's fun to watch him grow up around this stuff and see him develop as well. And I think sometimes I can kind of mentor him a little bit, but I don't know. I might be too young of an uncle for him to listen to me sometimes, it seems like. But no, it's awesome to, you know, get to see him grow up around the track. And he's only, I think he's 14 now. He's going to be a freshman in high school. But it's been great to see him grow up. We were comparing pictures from the last couple of years of how much, like, how taller he's gotten. He's almost taller than me now, which is kind of scary. He can start beating on me. But so it's been awesome to see his development.
That's so cool, though. He has you to look up to, you know, and as much as you want to help him, he's already getting a lot of help just watching what you're doing. And that's what I think is really cool.
Yeah, it's a great feeling to just even be that big of a part in his racing career. There's nothing in the world I would trade it for, honestly.
Well, hey, Lucas, we appreciate you carving out some time for us. Sorry about stressing you out on the number of hours left, but we look forward to seeing you at Crandon. I'll see you there at some point Wednesday, I'm sure.
Yeah, awesome. I look forward to seeing you guys out there, and thanks again for having me for a chat.
Well, good luck, buddy.
Yep, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Well, before we get to our next guest, I just want to remind you that this podcast is presented by Amsoil, and the Amsoil Shop by Vehicle tool at Amsoil.com takes all the guesswork out of picking the best oil and filter combination for your vehicle. Choose the right product and packaging option for you, and enjoy fast, free delivery right to your door. Visit Amsoil.com to learn more. Our second guest on this episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil, from 570 Side-by-Sides, Peyton Weisbrod. Peyton, thank you so much for finding some time on what's already been a busy day for you to join us.
Yes, very.
So first things first, I want to talk about what happened in Bark River. After already getting rained out once, and you're trying to battle for a top five in your round 12 race, you ended up upside down. So what exactly happened that sent you into that role?
So I just came in too fast into the corner and made some contact with the guy. Rolled over pretty good and spinning a bunch in there, but not my first rodeo.
So were you hurt at all? Because I know, you know, in the moment it didn't look that bad. And then obviously the red flag came out. Then later on Instagram, I think I saw you had posted you were getting checked out at the hospital. So what was the deal? Were you banged up, or what'd you find out?
We were pretty banged up, but we thought we were just getting checked with like a concussion. If we got any broken bones or anything, we thought we broke my foot, but it was just a pretty bruised up.
And how was your race vehicle itself? Was it pretty bad, or was it maintainable for the rest of the weekend?
Yeah, we had Patience Metal Fab build our new roll cage because it got pretty damaged, and they built it within 3 days.
Wow.
So I was trying to think if I had seen you have a big crash in off-road before. I couldn't remember one. But you're a snowcross kid, so I imagine you've like taken some pretty hard slams before, right?
Yeah. We've been doing some Supermans last year, and that was pretty not cool.
You know, you have a wreck like that. Is it hard for you to kind of refocus yourself? Like, do you have any anxiety coming back from that at all?
A little bit, here and there.
And you went out and tested at ERX today, right? It's Friday the 22nd as we're recording. You went out and tested today, and what was that experience like? Was it, you know, was there hesitation getting behind the wheel again?
No hesitation, actually. It just felt normal. Felt like I was just practicing normal, but we tested stuff. We found out stuff that we need to fix, but we're all good now.
So your confidence is pretty good going into Crandon?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So outside of racing to keep yourself, your mind off of racing, what do you do in the off time? Like, do you play different sports as well in school?
I do snowcross. I race for ISOC.
You don't do any sports in school, though, while you're in?
Well, I do lacrosse. That's okay. What I usually do fall, but usually snowcross.
How much do you learn from off-road that actually helps you out in snowcross? Well, you know, you're part, kind of the one of the first big group of drivers and riders that's doing both. So how much actually are you learning from one that works for the other?
I feel like I learn a lot, actually. Like, it comes, like, if I ever, like, roll over in, like, my, like, summertime, like, my fear goes away, and, like, I'm ready for the next season and everything, and that, like, helps me, like, gain my, like, confidence and, like, like doing like those outside going in the inside lines, those actually are pretty good too. And it's like it's kind of the same for me, but it's a little bit different for people.
So what's your favorite sport, snowcross or off-roads?
Don't put the pressure on her to answer that. Come on.
She gets to do two cool sports, Shane. Come on.
We all have the same boss.
I like snowcross better because I get to hit jump stuff. But at the same time, I do love side-by-side too.
Peyton, you're saying the tracks aren't rough in off-roads?
Perfect, but I just like snowcross a little bit better. But I've been doing way better than snowcross, actually. Like, this is my first year I've done really good, like, in my career.
You know, like I said, you're part of a pretty good-sized group of snowcross kids who are coming to race with us in Champ Off-Road. Obviously, you know, Avery Hemmer kind of at the forefront of that group of people, but Cody Krantz, Logan Fritzinger, Gabbert Guyon, who has raced off and on in off-road the last couple of years. Are you trying to kind of spread the word among your other snowcross friends? Like, hey, come check out this fun summer sport that I'm doing?
Yeah, we are doing that a lot, actually.
So there's more on the way, you're telling us?
I think so.
And what about the other direction? Are you, you know, walking the pits at an off-road race and running into kids that are only, you know, racing in the dirt and telling them to come try their hand at snowcross?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to tip any names to us?
I think their name is, like, Marios. They have my old 170. I think he's number 81, but I think they're going to buy my 2022 sled.
Okay, that's cool. So like, you talk to a lot of different drivers that you compete against in snowcross during the winter. Do you, like, bring it up more than just trying to push them to buy a car here and there? Do you go, hey, you should come and play in our sport? It's a lot of fun as well.
Yeah.
Hey, so looking at, you know, what's left for you in the off-road season this year, you know, you're right there in the points championship battle. Brand new for this year, you get to drop your two lowest scoring rounds. So with those rounds factored in, do you know exactly where you stand in the point standings?
Don't know for sure. My dad hasn't told me yet, but we'll just try to get him back up to first.
Do you want us to tell you? Or do you want it to be a secret?
Oh, she didn't say
it. I almost spilled it.
Do you know for sure right now?
I do know for sure.
Okay. Let's hear it.
You're down by 1 point to Cody Krantz.
Oh, actually?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure which two would have been dropped. I can look really quickly. I have that spreadsheet open. Champ doesn't give me this, by the way. I have to do this work by myself. Yeah, your Bark River race would be one of the two that wouldn't count. So you kind of lucked out there.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you know that it's a 1 point gap in the points and you have three races, including that makeup race from Bark River Saturday, basically, whoever has the better weekend out of you and Cody is going to be the champion. Does that add any extra stress onto you going into this final weekend?
It gives me more confidence, but we'll be okay.
So it doesn't really bother you, though, from here to Crandon? Like, it doesn't go through your mind? You're just going to do what you normally do, right? See how it shakes out?
Yep, like shaking bacon.
aside from, you know, obviously a busier weekend than normal for you with three races instead of the normal two. You also have, well, two of them are on Thursday. Then you have the parade Friday. Friday, you're not on the racetrack, but then you get your final points round on Saturday. Plus all the extra things added on to the weekend with Ultra 4s in town and Class 11s and everything else that's going on. Does the extra, like, busyness of the weekend, is it just, like, added fun for you, or is it kind of a distraction from what you're there to actually do?
I love that when we have, like, three races, because it's, like, it gives me three chances. And, like, I love parades and, like, all the business, like, the busyness. Like, it's, like, fun.
Yeah, it's got to be hard, though, at the same time as it's busy, you know, to stay focused on your own program. And as you're growing up, obviously, what are your goals, if we ask you right now, in off-roads? Or do you plan on just sticking with snowcross?
I think I'm going to try to, like, stick with side-by-side, actually, because I feel like I can have, like, a career with it and go big. That's my goal.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you whatsoever.
Hey, it's what she wants to do, right, Shane?
Still a little hurt that you said snowcross is your favorite. Partial to the off-road side myself. But I can look past that.
Side-by-side's fun, too. Just a little bit more fun with the jumps, like with the body and stuff. But we got a lot to learn this year because it'll be my last year in transition and, like, junior girls and stuff. Also, this is my last year in 570. I'm moving up to Youth 1000.
Well, all right. That's an interesting nugget of information. You already have the car, or is that something you're going to work on over the off season.
We're gonna build the cage this winter. We have the car ready.
That's exciting news.
Yes.
That's kind of the exciting part about all of our youth classes. And I'm sure snowcross is the same way, but always, you know, from one season to the next, seeing who kind of graduates to the next level.
Yeah.
So how big, Peyton, how big is the power difference from like a snowcross sled compared to your side-by-side?
I feel like the side-by-side is actually faster than my snowmobile.
Oh, really?
We're at half ECU. Like, I don't know what it's like, what we run at for speed, but we run at like 52 for like the 570 or more.
Okay.
This is four-wheelers a little bit faster.
Well, like we said, big weekend ahead for you. Championship kind of in your sights. Successful season so far, but I know that there's a lot of people that are working behind the scenes to make that all possible for you, right?
I'd like to thank Max's Tires for taking me for the 2026 season into Patience Metal Fab for building my roll cage within 3 days for the championship. Very exciting.
Yeah, it always takes a lot of great people behind the scenes that normally people do see, but the people that really help out the most, you always got to make sure you say their names and they respect it over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once again, Peyton, we appreciate you carving out some time for us, and best of luck. Big weekend ahead, like I said, and we're sorry if we added any stress onto you.
No, you're good. No stress.
All right. We look forward to seeing you.
Okay. Thank you for having me on this podcast.
Well, Shane, I mean, it's been another great podcast. We got to talk to couple great drivers, and man, the points battles are shaking up. These young guns, man, how do they sleep at night?
how do they sleep at night? How am I going to sleep the next few nights? Crandon looms ahead. Just as another reminder, we will have another podcast out before Crandon. You're hearing this no earlier than Saturday. We'll have another one out Tuesday morning to get you on the road to Crandon. And then it's time for the big show at the Big House, man. World Championship weekend. Hard to believe it's already at this point of the season, but you'll hear from us again before then.
Well, Shane, I cannot wait to get to Crandon, but man, it's going to be a long week ahead of us. But man, for Shane Stetsny, I'm Brent Smith. Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil.
Always asking other people questions. Like, I want to know how Brent and Shane are too.